Okay, we are starting at the bottom of Samachbet Amud Bez. Here, the Gemara discussed Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion yesterday, and then at the conclusion, we saw that Abaye says, "Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Verabi, Verbi Meir, Kulhu Svir Lehu, Adam Machned Davar Shelo Bali Olam." They're all of the same opinion that a person is able to transact in items that are not necessarily present right now; they're not in the world. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Hadamra. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is what we had already discussed. He was of the opinion by Truma that you could say Mishehi Biu Shlish Ulekeli Ishtal Shu, that you could have two conditions or preconditions to becoming Truma. One is that it reaches the point of Tvua, and number two was that you're actually going to make it Talush and not Mechubar. So beyond the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that when it's in your Yadayim, that's not Mechusar Maaseh, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says even if it's outside of your hands, meaning that it has to grow to reach a shlish, that's still okay, and you can call it truma when it becomes to that level, and then you pick it, and you take it, it will be considered truma, even though it's davar shlo bali olam. So now, the Gemara wants to know about the other two opinions. Rabbi, where do we know that Rabbi holds this? The Tanya of a Braisa. Lo tazgir eved el adonav. So one may not return an eved to his master. Well, here, Bezin is charged with protecting the rights of the Eved. What is the case here? So Rabbi Omer Belokech Eved Amanat HaShachvaro. It's a case where he's buying an Eved in order to free him. Meaning that he's purchasing the Eved in order to free the Eved. HaKatuv Medaber. Heichi Dami, what is the case? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kagon Dichtev Lei Likeshe Ekechcha. When I acquire you, Hari Atzmecha Kanu Elucha Miachshav. Then you acquire yourself from now, from this moment. Meaning that Rebbe's solution to what the story of Lotus Gir Eved Adonav is a case where he purchases the Eved in order to free him. Now it can't be after he's freed him already, because then he's no longer an Eved. So how do we come up with a case where he's still an Eved, and then we must demand of the master to free him? So that's in a case here where a person gives his word, or has made a commitment to purchase the Eved in order to free him. So what do you see here? It says the way Rabbi's statement is formulated is Lekesha Ekachacha. When I purchase you, I will free you. Which means right now, he does not own the Eved. Right now, he does not have the ability to free the Eved. And yes, he's saying that when I do purchase you, I will free you. So we see that you can transact or create an obligation, even Davar She'enu Ba'aliolam, even though something is not present or not yours at this present moment. Now, I will point out, this long Tosos over here on the right discusses the issue by Rabbi, which says over here, Kanoi Lucha Me'achshav. Right? Why does Rabbi demand Me'achshav over here? Meaning that if you have a Davar She'niknas, right, Davar Shelo B'Le'olam, when you have conditions or a transaction of Davar Shelo B'Le'olam, why do we all of a sudden need the term Me'achshav? What does Me'achshav add? It doesn't say it should be, right? According to the one who says Davar Niknas, or that you're Makne, Davar Shelo B'Le'olam, that it should be equivalent to the person who holds that Davar Shabali Olam. Whatever the dinim there should be applicable to anybody Olam. And in the case of Davar Shabali Olam, we don't require Miachshav. Right, so why over here do we require Achshav? So Tosus gives two possibilities or different reasons over here that, first of all, he distinguishes between different types of transactions and why we need Achshav in the end. Tosus generally states that he brings down from the Ram over here, Peirush Lahaki Nachat Me'achshav Gabei Steve Eved. By a Sadeh and an Eved, we require the term Achshav. Even though he wants to happen now, and I guess it can't, right? Nevertheless, Kana, it's still a Kenyan. I mean, that doesn't means it doesn't detract from the Kenyan the fact that he said Me'achshav, even though he cannot have the Kenyan be effective Me'achshav. Right? The other possibility was to read. Differentiates that he says that by kiddushin, the reason you don't need to say me'achshav is because stam kiddushin is v'kesef. That stam kiddushin is v'kesef, and we saw earlier, right? We saw Sudaf ago that Rav and Shmuel, the Amri Tarvayu, they both agreed that when it comes to kinyan kesef, when it comes to kiddushin v'kesef, the ma'ot, the money, does not need to be around anymore, right? The money can disappear. So the need to say me'achshav, right, is not an absolute necessity, because even if the money's gone, you can still have the kiddushin b'chav at a later point in time. That's not true when you rekone a sadeh or an eved, right, which is done derech shtar, right, the normal way to transact is done through a shtar. There, if you don't say me'achshav, and something happens to the shtar in between the moment of the kinyan and the chalut of the kinyan is not effective. Therefore, the Gemara in Eitzes, where there are kinyanim of shtar, where we're talking about eved, when we're talking about land, there the Gemara says, use the term yachshav to protect you, that somehow if the get, the shtar, disappears, right, that it's the transaction is still effective, because it says may akshav. On the other hand, by kiddushin, where it's done by ketzef, you don't need to use the word akshav to protect you, because by definition, if you do kiddushin with ketzef, you are protected, because the ketzef does not need to be around in order to have the cholos akinyan. So that's what the way the Ri explains it, why we have the term akshav here and not in other instances. Right now, back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, how do we know that Rabbi Meir holds, right, that Adam is makneh davar shel bo le'olam? The Tanya, we have a brisa. Omer li shariat mekadesh et lila achar she'et gayer. L'achar she'et gayeri, l'achar she'esh tachrer, l'achar she'tish tachari, l'achar she'imot balech, l'achar she'tamut achotech, l'achar she'achlos lach ibamech, eina mekudeshet. This is equivalent to our Mishnah, right, that when I convert, when you convert, when I am freed, when you are freed, right, when your husband passes away, when your sister passes away, if he had been previously married to her sister, right, or when you get chalitza from the yabam, right, then eina mikudeshit. None of these work.
Why should it be that he was previously married?
All right. Okay. Fine. It's true. It could be. Although that would, you just say after.
You're saying that would be less nice.
Right. Right, we're going to see in a second that there is some issue here. So let's look at Mechanim and Kedushin. All these instances, the Kedushin are not effective. Rabbi Meir Omer, Mekudeshet. Here you go. Meir says that in these instances, the Kedushin are effective. If they're effective, that means you can do something with Davar Shalom Bali Olam. Rabbi Yochanan Asan Mar Omer, Eno Mekudeshet. Rabbi Yochanan Asan says it's not Mekudeshet. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer, Mekudeshet. It works. Ma Tam Amru, Eno Mekudeshet. Truthfully, it works. That you can do with not the davar shel bo le'olam. So why does Chachamim say eina mikudeshet? Mishum eva. Because the problem of eva. So Rashi says what's eva here is evat avota ve'evat bala. In the instances where you're saying we will be married after your husband dies, or we will be married after your sister dies, both of those are male eva, meaning that there is a current relationship that exists. Because of that current relationship, now you're making a proposition that basically has to eliminate the current relationship. And that's not so nice, or that undermines the current relationship. So in that instance, we say, Mishum Eva, Eina Mikudeshet. But that means in other instances where when you are free, we will get married, or when I convert, we'll get married, those don't involve Eva. If they don't involve Eva, then they would be Mikudeshet. So my
sister.
So that's very good. So V'nach Shov Nami Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So I says, why don't we can't review the Nasi? There should be four people. So he says, Hainu Rabbi. Hainu Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That's right. Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi are the same person. And since they're the same person, we already took care of Rabbi's opinion.
Why do we raise several branches? And this is like the most direct.
Right. But you see that it wasn't obvious to the Gemara that Rabbi was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Right? That we have to get to that. Shov Nami Rabbi Akiva. So let's count Rabbi Akiva also in the list. Here's the Tanya. So a woman who's married says that I will not produce for you. I'm making you, everything I make is asur ba'anat to you. So, you don't have to do afara. Why? Because a woman is obligated, her matzei yadayim are obligated towards her husband. They're obligated towards her husband, then she doesn't have a right to be osur them in hanah. Rabbi Kiva Omer, yafer. That she does have to do afara, she should do an afara, shema ta'adif alav yeter min aro'ilo. That there is a taksiv, right? There's a fixed amount of matzei yadayim that a wife must produce for her husband each day. If she's in excess of that amount, then she can restrict that excess. So that's the core amount she can't restrict, but the excess she can. And since we can't be so exacting in what is the core amount and what is the excess amount, she'd be made for the nether in case she goes over, right, the limit. And again, the Gemara says, what's over here? What's the case over here? Cases where she is being oser, right? Shema devifalav yater min aroi lo. These are future production. So she is being oser be'ana, things that don't exist right now, but stuff that she will produce in the future. So this is a davar shelo ba'li olam, right? And Rabbi Akiva is saying that we're worried. You should do a hafara because we're worried that she could be oser the hadafa, the excess amount she could restrict. And therefore she must be made for the neder, because she would restrict something that she would produce in the future. So why don't we encourage Rabbi Akiva as somebody who believes that you can be Makdish, you can be Otzer, you can be Machnez, Dover Shalom B'Lilam. Gemara says, Hayitmar La, we learned from this in the Gemara in the Dorim, that Amar Avuna Breda Rabbi Shua. What is the case here? The case is not where she is Otzer, right, her future production, but rather, Vomerti Kachuya Daili Otzehem, right, that she says, my hands will be restricted. So the hands are V'Yadayim Itnehu B'Olam. She puts the restriction not on her future production, but rather on the producers, right? That she uses her hands to generate the nether. And by using her hands to generate the nether, we saw this in the Gemara in the Dorim, that makes the number one a chesed, right? So she can take a nether and not a shvua. And number two, it makes it a dabar shibbe olam. It's something that is present, and since it's present, she can't oser it. So we don't have a proof from here that Rabbi Akiva believes that you can be oser a dabar shaloba be'olam. And that's why he was not included in this list of people who learned in the Dorim that a kohen can be oker a shibbut. A kohen is able to undermine a shibbut. You have to say over here that alime rabbanan, right, that the rabbanan were ma'alim, they strengthened the kedushin, or they strengthened the shibbut of ma'aseh yadayim, so that kohen mos can't undermine it. You have to say something like that. Where isha, hariyak v'kedeshuli almanat, shedaber alayach l'shulton, I will speak to you, to the government, I will speak on your behalf, I'll lobby on your behalf. They say, Poel, I will work for you, meaning, like a laborer, meaning for a day. He spoke to the government on her behalf. He worked for her a day. Mikudeshet. She's married. Bimla. Ain't a Mikudeshet. Doesn't work. Amarech Lakish. Vehu Shnatan La Shavet Pruta. That's only if he married her with a Shavet Pruta outside of this stuff that he presented to her. Ubischar Lo. But not with the value or the monetary compensation that would come to him from either working as a poel or from lobbying on her behalf. Vatanya, so we have an explicit price that says, "Zeschar shir kaptich al chamor," with the money or the money you owe me because I took you on the chamor, which is shivtich b'karon, or I took you on a wagon, obitzvina or in a boat, ain't a mikudesh. Then he can't do it. Because then it's already a milveh, right? It's already in the past. She owes the money to him. If she owes the money to him, then it's already a milveh. He can't be mekadesh the milveh. But b'schar she'er kavech ala chamor, that on the schar that I will drive you around, right? Shoshivich b'karon, I'll take you on the wagon, osh b'sfina on the boat, mikudeshet, right? Then it is mikudeshet. So you see, you can use future earnings, right, for kiddushin. So why is Shmuel limiting our mishnah to say that you cannot use the future earnings here? You must have a separate pruta to generate. I'm sorry, Reish Lakish. Thank you. A separate pruta to generate the kiddushin over here. V'chitei ma'achanam yitayi v'la shove pruta. So what are you going to say? That the Brisa also, our mishnah doesn't say anything about a shove pruta, and Reish Lakish says it's a shove pruta. So say the thing about the Brisa. The Gemara says it can't. V'ha b'schar kamar. It says explicitly with the schar. It doesn't say b'shove pruta. It says b'schar.
Dude, what about the mishnah really makes it seem like? Like
Reish Lakish
is saying, basically, is that he's
making
a tonight,
right. He's making a tradition,
and then he's making
it
tonight.
Right. And the Lashon of the Mishnah really is. The Gemara is going to say that, exactly what you just said, that it was Reish Lakish from the Mishnah, exactly what you said. Perfect. Oh, Daniel. Right, we have another Braisa. Right, you know, sit with me, be my partner, and I will marry you. Skoka lefanai, rekod lefanai, right, make a fool out of yourself, dance in front of me, build this type of building. Shamin, whatever action that is being demanded of over here, right, then if it's worth a shavapruta, over here again, he's doing actions, he's making, right, he's making or generating the kedushin through things that he does. And that's again, tzchar. So how come over here again do we say it's a good kedushin? What are you going to say again? I gave you a shavet pruta also. Shamin oto kamar. Then why do you need to assess the value of what he did? It's irrelevant what the value is. He could have just given the shavet pruta. So to you today, Shlokish. It's a very strong question against Reish Lakish. Amalar Shlokish haitan of bara. All these brightos believe sover endless kirut ela basof. That schar only is owed at the end. So therefore, if he's mekadesh her with the schar, with his compensation for anything he does, there is no milveh over here. There's no milveh here. The moment she owes him the money, that becomes the kesef kiddushin. So that is a valid kiddushin. V'tana didon, the tana of our mishnah believes, that Schiro's computation is from beginning to end. Therefore, until he gets to the end of the action or what he's hired to do, right, then the Schar, by the time he gets there, the original or the earlier part of his compensation is already a milva. If it's a milva already, it can't be Mekadesh the milva. This we saw earlier in the Masechta. Now, when it says, not like Shaul, my duch, okay, the Reish Lakish duch, me matzinishan, the Asian of the Schirat, the Kulat Sof. What pushed Reish Lakish to say this? Right? Uv the Yoyiv La, and he gave Reish Lakish Bruto. Amar Rava, matzinitin kashite. The Mishnah presented a problem. Exactly the deal that Shaul said. My area, the Tani Amanat. Nitnei, this car. Why does it say on the condition? The term on, the condition of, sounds like he meant that as a Tnai, not as the actual Kesef Kiddushin. Right, if he wanted to say it was the case of Kedushin, it said, Bishar, with the compensation I'm getting married to. But rather he says, Almanat. Almanat implies that that's a exogenous or an outside tonight. Elishmamina, kol almanat, eichad yoyik lahu. Right? That, Shmamina, that Almanat means that I gave you something, and Almanat is a separate condition, right, that is working over here. Why does it have to be a separate condition? Because if it wasn't a condition, that was the case of Kedushin, it would have failed. Why does it fail? Because our Tana believes the Yeshua Schiros me Schila ad so. Right? It's exactly what you had suggested. So, right, next Mishnah. Amenat Shir Te Abba. So, on the condition that my father approves, right? My father meaning the father of the Chatan. Ratzav Mikudesh. If the father approves it, then it's okay. Vim Lav. If he doesn't approve it, right? Not married. Meta Av. The father dies. Are you then Mikudesh? Right? Then. He is married, which seems to be that the default status is what? The father's approval. Yet before, in the previous part of the mission, it sounds like, right, that only if the father actively approves of it is the Kedushin. So which one is it? Meita ben, blamdima av, lomar shenu rotzeh. Right, if the son freezes and died, and the father hasn't spoken up on him yet, we teach the father to say, I don't want this marriage. Because then the mafrei is okay, the kiddushin, and there won't be a requirement of yibum over here. So again, the latter two parts of the Mishnah sound like the default status is that the father is approving the marriage. He must actively say something in order to, right, dismiss the marriage. Whereas, in the first part, or the first part of the Mishnah, it sounds like the default status is that the father disapproves of the marriage, and he must actively say, I do approve of the marriage in order to, for her to be, or him to be, in
condition. I'm marrying you on the condition that my father approves. And her father was already dead.
Right.
What does it mean?
Yeah, but that's an Tnai, EF Charlotte Kaimo, which falls away automatically.
And initially good.
But here, when the Tnai was made at the time of condition, it was EF Charlotte Kaimo, it's a valid Tnai. Then you can't say later on, oh, if the Tnai becomes invalid, that ruins the Tnai in Meokara. That you cannot
say. It's only in that time that it's
Right. Exactly. That you can't later information can't change the fact that there is a tonight here. There is a condition. So now the Gemara says, "My amanat shir te abba." What does it mean that my father should approve? So ilay ma ad amar abba in. If it's what means until my father actively says yes, ema mitsiyata. How are you going to explain the case of meita ab where the father passes away? Harizumi kedushin. Why? He never said yes, and he never can say yes. So why is there a good condition? Hello, Marin. Ella, so what are you going to suggest? Amanachi Yitze Abba means Aji Shtok Abba. Amanachi Shtok Abba. Abba will be silent. Meaning that if he doesn't disapprove, right? If he doesn't disapprove of the marriage, then it's a good marriage. Then Amos Seifa, how are you going to explain the letter of the Mishnah? Meta Ben. When the son dies, Melajmet Abba, Marshen Rotzeh. Right? We teach the father to say, I don't want this marriage. Why do we have to teach him? Why do we have to teach him anything? Am I? Right, Vashotik, he never said anything. The fact that he never said anything means that he automatically approved of the marriage. So why do we need to take an active statement to say I disapprove of this marriage? Allah Amar La. So what's the case? Amnat Shelo Yimache Abba. In the case that what? A father should not refuse it or actively dismiss the marriage. Reisha B'chatama U'mitziyas V'seifa B'chatama. The first part of the Mishnah is one type of Yirtze Abba, and the second half of the Mishnah is also a different type of approval of Abba. So what's the cases here? So look in Rashi. It's important in Rashi. El Amanach Lo Yimche Abba. Condition that Abba does not refuse or dismiss it. It's in the wide lines. So it's the third wide line down in Rashi. Hak Seifa Gitani Belamdin. The case where we say that we have to teach the father to actively say something is Lo Matukma Kareisha. That we can't explain like the Reisha that said Amanach Yishtok. in the case where he said, as long as he's silent, this is a good marriage. Right? Because then, what if he dies? Right? As long as, if he dies, then he's going to be silent for the rest of his life. There's no question, right? That the Kiddushin are approved. So that's how we explain the Reisha case. Now, Ella, Be'almanat, Shaloi Mechen, in the case where he doesn't actively, right, refuse it. B'chol kama, the Mochi, Akar Lahu. If he refuses, actively refuses to allow or disapproves of the Kiddushin, they are ruin the Machreya. Shreilo kava, Zman the Macha. That's what you read. He never sets out the time at which he will, you know, disapprove of the marriage. That means that forever he has the ability to undermine the marriage. From now,
as long as he's insane.
What?
As long as he's insane.
No,
if he's
insane,
he can come up and say, "I disapprove of the marriage." And
that
was the leka luukma b'chalchi. We can't set up the ratio like this. Why not? Why can't we say the cases where the father must, right? Shelo yimechaba, Abba will not disapprove of the marriage. He dies, he can't disapprove of the marriage anymore. So how come that's not a good way to solve the problem? The game must ratza av. Because then you can't explain what? The very first part of the Mishnah, which is, the first part of the Mishnah says that if the av wants it, nikudeshes, imlav, enum nikudeshes. Why does he have to make an active, positive statement to have the kudushin go through? All he has to do is not disapprove of the marriage. Right? So that's what it is. He can't explain it that way. Like lukum ba'alkei zimkei my ratza av, alo yesh bedodim chot olam. Right, he can refuse it forever. What does it mean that the Av wants it? Mean that there is no default set. What does it mean? All he has is he has a right to disapprove of this marriage forever. The Inkan Kiddushin Le'olam. Right, that he can dismiss this Kiddushin whenever he feels like it. So this is what it must be. The first case in the Mishnah is a case of Amanat Shishtok Abba. The case, if my father is silent, then good. Shut up. If he says nothing, then Mikudesh. Lo shut up. Ela micha la'alter, if he was not quiet and refuses it immediately, ain't a mikudeshit. So what's the difference between lo shatak and yimcha abba? Is that yishtok, according to Rashi, means it has to be taken care of immediately. The father's a refusal, right? It must be done or must be taken up.
As soon as he hears about it.
Hears about it, right. Because amanashi yishtok abba means that as long as my father's silent, the condition is approved. So the only way for the father to stop such a condition is to take a active, as soon as he hears about it, he must take an active statement to say, this is no good anymore, because otherwise it's going to expire. I mean, that the fact that he was shotek when he first heard about it means that he's now approved of the marriage, and marriage is in effect, and he can't go back now and refuse it. On the other hand, if the statement is formulated, on the condition that my father does not refuse, right, or does not disapprove of this marriage, then he's entitled to disapprove for the rest of his life. That tonight is in effect. Right. In effect, always. Fine. If the father passes away, then there's nothing to talk about. He can't refuse or can't disapprove the marriage anymore because he's dead. So there's nothing to talk about. Aval kol yimei chayav inam kiddushin. His entire life that the father's alive, it will not be kiddushin. And therefore, right, because he always has the ability to refuse it. Even if he says at one point I approve it, he still has that tonight that allows him to disapprove of it. And therefore, if the son dies, you tell the av what to do. Yimachet, that he should refuse it in order to undermine the marriage mi'ikara. Therefore, we explain the ratio. The first case in the Mishnah is that the fault was amanachi shtok, and that he'll be silent. If he's silent, silent means now. As soon as he hears the information, there's a yes or no comes about right away. Either he refuses it, or if he's silent, it does. On the other hand, if we say, on the ability of my father to disapprove of the marriage, he has the right to disapprove of this marriage, that's a right that's given to him forever. Therefore, if he dies, nothing to talk about anymore, because he can't refuse it anymore. But if he doesn't die, right, then it's an open-ended ability to refuse. It's an open-ended ability to refuse. If the son dies, you tell the father to disapprove of it in order to undermine the marriage. Okay, so now, Amar Reish Lakish. Right, so, I'm sorry. So we said that the ratio of b'chad time, the ratio is one type of explanation, and the Amar Rabbi Anayin, that is the case, that the ratio and the, is different than the seif and the mitziyata. Right, that we go out of our way to break a mission up and say that the cases in the mission are different, rather than to say that the authors of the mission are two different authors. And not explain the mission according to one person, and say that these are two different Tanaim. Meaning that we could say, right, that we can ask, they can argue about what it means, Amanat Shiyasaba. Because you have two Tanaim saying one says Amanat means this, and the other Tanaim means Amanat this. He said we'd rather not divide the Mishnah up and say there are two authors, and rather we say, what? One author that is talking about two different cases. Right. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Ami Amar the Olam Chad Taimahu. Two plates all one time. Umayo Amenachir is the Abba. What is the case of Amenachir? Amenachali Mecher Abba Mikan Vashloshim Yom. So he solves the problem by putting a time frame on it. Since he put a time frame on it, that means there's an expiration to the father's, right, disapproval. So he says, Amenachali Mecher Abba on the condition my father does not approve. Right, so therefore, if there's a time, like a zman, that it would expire, therefore, if the father wants it, meaning that 30 days go by and he did not refuse it, that's a good marriage, because then the tnai expired at the 30-day point. Right, now, lo ratza, if he doesn't want it, then he can be michai, he can refuse it or disapprove it within the 30-day period, and it's gone. Right, and it says, metav, if the father dies, then it's automatically good, because he can no longer refuse it within the 30-day period, it's done. Now, when it comes to the son predeceased the father, that's a case where it was in the 30-day period. So the son died within the 30-day period. The father's ability to refuse is still in effect. So if he goes and he dismisses it, tell him to go dismiss it or disapprove of it, so there won't be a marriage. So what Rav Yosef did was he took away from the differential that we created in the previous case. The difference between Yishtok and Yimachah was something that went on forever. Yishtok was something immediately. So Rav Yosef solved that problem by creating the Amenachi Yitzhaba and giving a time, something that's not written in the Mishnah, but he gave a time frame to it. As soon as you give a time frame to it, then you can understand what it means that the father gave approval, active approval, because all he did was he let the time expire. By letting the time expire, that's the equivalent of active approval. Alright, Mishnah. Kidashti biti, I married off my daughter, many deal to me kidashtiya, but I don't know who I married her off to. Vacher v'amar, ani kadeshtiya. I'm the one who you married off to. Naman, he's believed. The two guys show up and they both say, I'm the one you married her off to. So Shnehem notim get, they both have to give a get. Or Echa Imratu Echad notim get v'echad kones. One of them gives a get, the other one marries her. Amarav, Neman liten get, ve'ein Neman lichnos. Sorry, that when this decision comes up, the guys believe they have to give her a get and free her, but he's not Neman to marry her in this instance. Neman liten get en adam chote v'lo lo. Now, what's the point? The guy's not going to come along and say, I'm the guy, give her a get, and then free her to marry someone else. Meaning that he's then lying, doing something wrong, in order to free her up and say that she's not married anymore, and she can go marry a third party. That he won't do. Right? But he can't. He's not believed to say that he can marry her. Why? He wants to marry the girl, and he says, this is my big in to marrying the girl. I'll just say, I'm the one he married, and then he goes to marry her. So there, we could say he is chotev, but it's to his own benefit because he's going to marry the girl. Rabasi Amar Afne Man Lichnos. That even in this instance, he is Neman to marry her. Why? Because the guy has to show up in front of the father. And he's making a declaration. The father's the one who married him off to the guy. Now he's going up to the father and says, I'm the guy. So he'll be scared. He'll be mirtat. This is what I say. Mirtat. He's afraid that the father will catch him. Say, you're not the guy. I know. See, you're definitely not the guy. So he has some sort of fear, and therefore he won't just come in willy-nilly and say, I'm the guy, because he knows there's a possibility the father could say, you're a liar. Right, so Moder Ravasi. So Ravasi is going to approve in a case, but Omer Nitzkadashti. Ben Yodat Amin Nitzkadashti. In a case where the woman herself says, I married myself off, but I don't know who I married myself to. Vachad Ba'amar Kidashtiya. If someone comes along and says, I'm the man, she'ein Ne'eman Lichnos. In that case, he's not believed to marry her. Why? What's the difference between when she does it and when he does it? That we're going to see again in a second in the Gemara. Which is, there is mirtat, we see there is mirtat, or no person that mechutzah, to lie in front of the father, but when it comes to the woman, there's a different consideration, which is, that even if he lies, she may be mechapelab, she might cover for him. In order for her to persist or have this marriage, you know, if she doesn't know who it is, then she's stuck, she can't marry for the rest of her life. So if she acquiesces that this is the guy who she's married to, that she can get married to him, and even if we find out later it's wrong, she'll say, no, this is really the guy. Even though she knows it's not true, or she'll lie, she has an invested interest in keeping the marriage intact or having it
persist. Because of tattoo? Is she rather be married than not be married?
Yeah, possibly. Or once she is married. Once she says yes to this guy and then finds out later she was wrong, she wouldn't be willing to admit she's wrong because then she'd have to divorce and get out of a marriage that she's happy in right now. One of those two, either beforehand or even during the marriage. None. Ratzu echad noten get ve'echad koneis. Our Mishnah is explicitly against Rav's position. Why? Because our Mishnah says one of them can marry her and one of them can divorce her. Diuk to the Rav. Some of the Rav Shani Hotam that came into Ika Acher Badei or Tutei Mirtad. No, when there's another party, when there's a third party involved, then he's afraid. Meaning that when it comes to the father, Then the guy's willing to lie because the father doesn't really know, doesn't remember. But he has another party, a second guy that's coming with him. Then he's really in trouble because he knows there's an alternative that the father's going to know and he'll be caught. And if there is no other alternative, he'll say, yeah, the father doesn't know, I'm not so afraid. But when there's already a second guy, he knows right away that if the other guy's telling the truth and I'm lying, that he's going to get caught because the other guy's showing up and telling the truth. So therefore, he won't, in that instance, he won't lie. Right. Right.
It seems like either one of them can get the
Right, so that's what Rashi says, that the guy who's lying will do the get, and the guy who's not lying will do the knisa. Meaning that the default status will be that the guy knows that he's wrong, and then therefore he'll go to the get route. And the one who's konesh is the one telling the truth. So our assumption is that it'll work out because he's not willing to lie and then get himself into trouble, knowing that there's definitely
going
to be.
If you're going to do it, then the one who's telling the truth knows he's telling the truth before
exactly.
He
knows. Right. It's like Swamma Melch splitting the baby, right? It's the same type of case. Tanya comes to the Rav Asi, so we have a break to the Tzipor. It's Rav Asi. Kiddush Yibiti, Veni Odeh Lemi Kiddush Tia, Uvar Chevra Mer Kiddush Tia. Person says that I did it. Af Neman Lechnos. Right? Then he's also believed to take ring. Tansa Uvar Chevra Mer Ani Kiddush Tia. If on the other hand he marries her, and then another party comes along and says I married her, Lokol Amino Lestro Alav. After the marriage is already gone, after we believe him to marry her, a third party can't come along and say I was the guy. Because he doesn't have a way, he doesn't have a right to undermine a marriage that exists already. Aisha Shamran, he said, Dashti. Many of the other meaning, Dashti. It's a woman herself who says, I got married, I don't know who I married. Uba'a Chadbamar Aniki Dashti. Then he can't, she's not believed in order, he's not believed in order to marry her. Mibnei, she mechapela. Because, right, she covers up for him. Right, so because she comes up for him, or she's willing to cover up in order to have the marriage go through or to sustain the marriage. Therefore, we don't say that he's believed in this case because even if he doesn't tell the truth, there's a possibility that she'll marry him or allow the marriage to persist.
When the father says that his daughter is married, do we say the marriage is
so foolproof that we say what? That if she has nus over here, that there'll be skila for her or for the one who has perpetrates. Right, nuts with her. So Rav Amar ain't so clean. There is no skill over here. Rav Amar, Rav Asi Amar, so clean. Rav Amar ain't so clean. Ki emeni rachman alav li sura. That when the Av believed, we believe the Av is to be oser her on the rest of the world. Meaning that if he says I married her off to someone, then she can't marry anyone else. But if she has nuts at that point in time, we don't say, oh, she's really so married that we're going to give skila for it. L'kav aloymen, they didn't believe him. Rav Asi Amar, so clean l'kula milta hemnei rachman alav. The Torah believes, what? That, according to everybody, the cool milk on the Arab, the whole, everything the fathers believe for, to say that she's married means she's married enough to say that she needs a guest, and she's asur to the olam, and number two, she's married enough that if she has nus with somebody, she's going to be chayevet skila because she's having an extramarital affair. Amar Vasi, umodina bel merit, kadashti, she ain't so clean. Right, so he agrees that when she says it kadashti, right, then there is no skila.
So Rav Asi over here recognizes the inconsistency in his shita, because he's saying now that if the father is the one that says that the daughter is married, then we say, number one, she's asura liolam. Number two is that if she has nus, or someone has nus with her, there'll be chayav skila. And number three is, we also know that if an individual comes along and says that I am married to her, that we believe that individual. But when it comes to the girl herself, if she herself says that I'm married, number one, she's asur liolam. Number two is, it's even more stringent in the fact that if an individual comes and says, I am married to her, then we don't believe him. And nevertheless, when it comes to skila, we say, no skila in this case. So, V'amar V'ashi, Asi points out, Hainish, my memrot, my expressions over here, or my positions over here, you might think, Merafsan Igri, and they blow off the roof. I mean, they break down the roof or the upstairs. I mean that they're hard to understand or how they are consistent. Why? By the father, if he says that he married her off, and an individual comes and says it's me, then we allow him to marry her. Amar tzkoklim. In that instance, we still say, if when the father says, and he's believed to say, that she's married, and then has nos, then we're so killed, and we punish with skila. Makom shim balich nos, by the daughter herself, when she says she's married, we're even more machmir to the sense that she is not allowed to marry anybody. And number two, if someone shows up to marry her, we say no good. Nevertheless, in kones, in udinsha soklin, so certainly she should get skila. And yet, Rav Asi's opinion is, umodina, that I admit, bel merit in kadashti, if the girl herself is the one who initiates it, she ain't soklin, that we don't give skila. Ravashi says, Velohi, that's not the case. There's a fundamental difference. La'av hemnei rachmana. The Torah believes the father. The father is given nemanut in belief in the fact that he married off his daughter to the extent, number one, that he's believed to oser her on the olam, kulo, meaning that she's not allowed to marry anybody else, and number two, to the extent that if she has nus or someone else is mezana with her, that they would get skila, lidida, lohemna. But when it comes to her, about herself, she's not believed. She does not have a nemanut. If she doesn't have a nemanut, then why is she asur the olam? When she says, I've married somebody, then why do we say now she can't go marry someone else? If she has no belief, she doesn't have any nemanut, why is that? So Rashi says, when it comes to dinei nefashot, when it comes to skila, lo katlina mishum chashash, we're not going to kill her or anyone else because of this chashash that she said that maybe she's married, or she said she is married, but that maybe she is really married, we believe her. Uliani sura, why is it that she's usur now to marry anyone else? If she's not believed for the skila, why is she believed to usur herself on the lump? Taimachrino, it has to do with a totally different reason. Deshavitala nafsha chaticha di sura, because she made herself into a piece of isur, meaning that she said about herself, she's defined herself to be something that is asur. And so since she has defined herself as being asur, we're not going to change that. We're not going to undermine, override her statement about herself. On the other hand, right, but we, on the other hand, we won't say that someone else gets skila based on her statement. So it's enough to, her statement's enough to affect herself, but not enough to affect others. And it has to do with the knisa, when it has to do with marrying. All right, by the case of the father, we say that there's a fear factor. Since there's a fear factor, we say the guy is believed when he comes to marry her. But when the guy comes and says about the woman herself, right, that should free her from this, right, this problem. She's the one who defined herself as being a sur. She says this is the guy, she should be able to be mati herself. There we say no, because there we say she's not believed because there isn't an element of mirta, the fear from the person to lie, the husband or the potential husband to lie. And on top of that, she may be mechapeh. She will actually help or cover up the situation. So therefore, even though she made herself the isur, she cannot free herself from that isur because she has a vested interest or she has ulterior motives. And therefore, she's not believed in that instance. So now the Gemara says, "V'Rav Chista Amar Echad Zev Echad Zev Ein Soklin." Rav Chista disagrees with Rav Asi and says, whether it's the father or the daughter who says that she's married, there is no skila. Nobody else will be punished based on that. V'Az Rav Chista L'Tamei. Rav Chista goes according to his own reasoning. D'Amar Rav Chista Bni Zeh Ben Teisha Shanim V'Yom Echad. My son is now 9 years old and one day. Now, from a son, a child, a male to be 9 years and one day, it becomes his bia is then a real bia. So if, for some reason, one of the arayot had relations with him, then if the father testifies that he's 9 years and one day, that makes it into a violation of arayot, and the other person should get punished. Bitozu, bitizu, bat gimel shanim v'yom echad. My daughter is 3 years and one day. For a girl, the threshold for bia to be considered a valid bia or a real bia is after 3 years and one day. So over here, he's saying, he's testifying about his daughter that she's over 3 years, and therefore, someone who had bia with her, who was an arayot, should be chayav. We say neman the korban. He's neman to mechayev, the person who perpetrated the act of arayot against them to bring a korban, if it was done b'shogeg. Aval lo lemakot v'lo leonshin. He can't, based on his own testimony, he can't come now and then force that person either to get killed, mita for violating the arayot, or get to malkus for violating a kares. That he doesn't have the power to do. So what do we see? We see that the father's testimony only goes so far. The father is neman in terms of saying what the age of the child is, but only into a limited extent. He's not neman far enough to allow punishment to be enacted on the behalf of his testimony. So it's over here. When he says that the daughter, he married his daughter off, that's enough to make her asura, but that's not enough, right, to say that there'll be soklin al yado, that will create skilon is based on his testimony. Tanya Kavati Rav Chista, we have a brisa that supports this position of Rav Chista. Bni Zeh Ben Yun Gimel Shana V'Yom Echad. My son is 13 years old and one day. Biti Zu Bat Yud Shana V'Yom Echad. She is 12 years and one day, meaning that they are Gedolim now. Why do we need this testimony that they're Gedolim now? So Rashi says, because we want to know that they have Shtei Sarot. They have pubic hairs now. Now we don't know. The possibility is that these pubic hairs are Shuma. They're just a birthmark. They're not really simonim of gadlus. Or the other possibility is if they're of age, if they're already reached the point of 13 or 12, then we say the shtei sarot, those pubic hairs, are an indication of gadlus. So what do we need now? We need the testimony of the father to tell us that those shtei sarot are really shtei sarot of someone who is over the age of bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, and not shtei sarim someone below the age of bar and bat mitzvah. So here it comes the father, and he testifies that his child is of age, and therefore they are gedolim. So neman, so this father is believed l'nidarim u'l'charamim u'l'hekdesho t'l'arachim. When it comes to all these types of actions that the child has taken, he's believed that when they take such an action, they are considered gedolim, and we will enforce their actions. If they take a neder, if they take charamim, meaning if they were machrim. Machrim means that they were makdish certain of their possessions too, bedek avayit, right? Ulek, they show to be makdish, kedush as a guf on something. Ula rachim, to assign erech, meaning that he says the value of such and such a person I'll bring to hekdesh, and the Torah defines for us those values. So for all those instances, the father is believed. Avalolam akotel onshin, but not for punishment. The father is not believed to say they are gedolim, and therefore they should be punished. They should get onshin because they are now overage, or they are gedolim. So he's not believed in that instance. So from Rashi it seems, and Tosfos points this out, it seems from Rashi that for us to believe that someone's a gadol, right, it's not sufficient for us to know that they have shtei sarot. That they have shtei sarot, they have pubic hairs, that's not enough for us to know a gadolim. We need testimony, we need outside testimony to tell us that they are of age, that they are over the age of 13 or over the age of 12. So the Rishi says, oh my goodness, what are we going to do in all these instances? Like when we have chalitza, or in instances when there's arayot, how can we ever be mechayiv somebody? Okay, we know that they have shtei sarot, but how do we know that they are really gedolim? How do we know that their age, their true age is? Again, if the father's not believed, he's not neman in these instances, so you would need actually two edim to come along and tell us the age of the person to confirm that they're really gedolim or gedolot. So that seems unreasonable. So the Rishi says, you know what? Truthfully, that is the case. That if we want to know if they're gedolim or gedolot, we need a testimony to their age in order to confirm that the shtei sarot they have really make them into gedolim and gedolot. But there are other ways to get around this. What's the other ways? So the Rishi gives two possibilities. He says, first of all, the iika ruboi sarot, samchinen ariboi sarot, dein darkam levo kodem yigimo shana. He says, the Rishi introduces another type of chazaka, which is that if it's not just shtei sarot, meaning if there's a lot of pubic hair, then there's a chazaka that type of growth will only take place after a person has reached bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. So we can have a chazaka that if they already have more than shtei sarot, they have a lot more pubic hair, then we can believe that they are already over Yud Gimel Shana or over Yud Bet Shana. We won't need outside testimony. Or the other possibility, the Rebbe says, is inami imhem gdolim bekoma, that we look at their physical appearance. Meaning if their physical appearance is clear that they're above the age of bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, then we will assume that they are gedolim. We don't need outside testimony to confirm for us that they are not only have shtei sarot, but they are also above the age of bar or bat mitzvah. So that's how the Rebbe reconciles with Rashi, saying that we do need outside confirmation not only of shtei sarot, but of the age of the individual in order for them to be a gadol or a gdola. But nevertheless, there are ways to get around without testimony if there is evidence that they are older, either by their physical appearance or by the riboy sa'arot. The Rebbe then offers an alternative shot in this Gemara and says, no, the reason that we need testimony here is a case where the child is already 15 years old or 16 years old, and the father comes along and says, you know what, I saw them eating chalev, and I saw them doing these bad things for the last 2-3 years. So, okay, true. When the child that's standing in front of us right now, we know that they're gdolim because they have shtei sarot. But when it comes to previous to this point in time, we don't know if they were gdolim or gdolot, meaning that we only have what's in front of us right now. So how do we know when they were 13 or 14, how do we know that they really were gdolim at that time? So here comes the father and says they were gdolim, and they've been violating the Isur. So there, the Gemara says that the father has the only ability to assign gadlus to the individual, to the child, when it comes to nedarim, charamim, hekdeshot, and erachin, but not when it comes to makot and onshim. Retroactively, the father can't come and testify that they were already a gadol at that point. And again, that it would be sufficient, either shtei sarot or shanim, either if they came of age or if they had shtei sarot, either one of these would be sufficient in and of itself. The Gemara only gave examples of one that he was testifying about age, but it would be true if he was testifying about the simanim as well. And the father is just trying to testify retroactively at what point the child reached the age of bar or bat mitzvah. And there again, we say that he won't be believed when it comes to makot and onshim. And that avoids this problem of Rashi, which would say that in every instance we need not only a confirmation of shtei sarot to be a gadol gdola, but we also need a confirmation of age. The Rebbe's second explanation avoids that by saying that either one is sufficient, meaning that either shtei sarot or age are sufficient to determine the person to be a gadol gdola. And our Gemara is talking about an unusual case where he was trying to testify about a period of time prior to where we are standing today. And the father is trying to establish whether they are a gadol gdola prior to this point in time. Okay, we'll stop over here.